This is Message, M118, The Power of the Living Word. A word given by Cecil J. Duseel, 24th of April, 1973.
Praise the Lord. We are happy to be back with you. Praise God. And we just had a wonderful, exhaustive time. I tell you, we had services in Marion City, a Church of God church that they didn't know the Holy Ghost. This Church of God doesn't believe in the Holy Ghost. That's Anderson, Indiana. And we went there and the year before last when we came first. So we left, we didn't know what had happened. But a seed had been planted there, and we called them and said, we're in the area and we're just calling to say hello. They said, no hello at all, you've got to come. We said, we've been waiting. And so we put it in our schedule and we went there to be with them for 4 days. And Rick and Renee, and I'm telling you, they couldn't allow us to dismiss service before 12 and 1 at night. I mean, 2 o'clock to bed every night just almost killed us. I mean, ministering from 8 o'clock till 2 is no joke. And so they finally loosed us with the promise that Rick will come to them when he's coming back. We've been in Stockton, and Stockton is healthy. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And 2 groups are in Stockton. We ministered in the 2 places. One brother has a church building. He just bought the church building. The Lord sent him there. And we really look forward to you, brethren who are here, feeding them and going to them. Brother Terlizzi and Sister Eggert, 2 different groups, but they are now coming together. We see all God's people coming together everywhere. Please don't preach division.
Amen.
Please don't believe in it. Don't encourage it. Division is of the devil. And division only comes in where there is sin. And if you are both children of God, there's no division between you.
Hallelujah.
Something is wrong wherever there is division. If I am in Christ and you are in Christ, it is impossible for me to be against you. Somebody is out of Christ. Amen. And so you must be for all God's people. Just be willing to give them all you have. Just be willing to be one with them. And when they can't be one with you, then you know that they are not listening to the same voice that you are listening to. You see, we have in the past put the basis for oneness on various things, and we have left the truth in. There's only one true basis for oneness, and that is love. Yes, if you have the love of God in your heart and the other man has the love of God in his heart, you know first of all that he is not perfect, and he knows that you're not perfect, because if you were perfect, we would have heard about it. That's what Paul said, you know. He said, very well, if you were perfect, I'd be glad, because I mean, I'm the perfect also. Amen. So the basis for oneness, therefore, is love. And when people begin to reject and cast out and excommunicate, it shows that they are basing they are putting their accent on the wrong things. We went to San Francisco, and one group that we parted in love the last time. We came back, they said, oh no, we don't want you here at all. Well, we don't know what they've heard about us. Well, we're just the same. And so we realized that there are other things, bases that people put for fellowship. But God said, if ye walk where? In the light, as he is in the light, then you'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse it, continuation of cleansing. So it is as we walk together in the love of God, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us. You know, sometimes I sit down and judge myself, and when I judge myself, I see how small I am, really, in the Lord and in the things of the Lord. You judge the difference between your natural family and the family of God. Judge how you treat your natural family. And judge how you treat the family of God, and you'll see that your carnal, physical, natural family love, which is philia, family love, is greater than your agape, which is God's love. And this is bad. It's bad. But it happens like that. I was going one day to talk about a man who was really wretched. And I was going to talk about him, and when I start telling that other fellow about him, the Holy Ghost starts prodding me. I say, what's wrong now? I feel uneasy inside. I say, what's wrong now? And when I inquired from God, God said, would you have told that man about your natural brother if your brother was in the same condition as this man? You know the man's going to cut the man's throat. Actually, what you were doing is cutting the man's throat, because although the man is wrong, he's out of God, he's vile and so on, and you go and you tell a man who is going to cut the man's throat about the man's badness, then you are actually cutting his throat. And so, he said, if it were your natural brother, would you have told him? I said, no, Lord, I would hide it. I mean, whether I would be right or wrong, I would hide it if it were my natural brother. I said, well, your natural love supersedes your spiritual love for your brethren. The weaker the brother, the more you want to help him, the more you'd have love for him. When you think of your own children, and the one that is weak and always erring, doing wrong, man, I'm telling you, he goes out the street there and he shoots 10 men. Shot them dead. And every man is out for him, gunning for his life. And you feel sorry for him inside here. You don't see him. You read a newspaper and you see this man did so and so and that one did. You kill him. I hope they will catch him. I hope the police, you know, you are judging circumstances. As you read even the newspaper, hear the news, you put yourself on one side or on the other side. And you don't realize how you are judging things. And you are not using agape love. The bad guy must be killed. Just look at a story. It's fiction. You look at a TV story, or you read a story in something, and man, you're just dying to see the end of it. That you want to see them catch that bad guy and give it to him. You've got in you something there that must be removed. The love of God needs to take over. And you keep judging yourself, keep understanding yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Oh, I am great. I am full of agape love. I mean, we want this agape love. In some areas, we have this agape love. In other areas, we are short of this agape love. We need to seek God continually. Keep your eyes wide open. When God says you must be a watchman, who you think you're supposed to watch? You. You watch you and I watch me. You see, and if you keep watching yourself, at every turn, the things you do that passes through your mind, you will realize how little you are and how big you ought to be. Yes, that's what it does, the Word of God. So it needs an honest approach to the Word of God. Let's this morning make such an approach to the Word of God. And turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let us look into the communion, the feeding upon Christ. Let's understand what Jesus meant. Bless God. This doctrine, or this teaching of this ordinance, has been disfigured by the Babylonish church. We all were Gentiles led away with divers wrong understanding. For instance, we were taught in some of the churches that this meant that the blood and the body of Jesus Christ became flesh, that the blood, the wine became actual blood, and that the bread became actual flesh, because Jesus said, "Eat, this is my body." Hallelujah. But that is not the truth. It is just as much bread as it is bread. You put it down and see if it would get, it would rot just like flesh would. Or you just live in that and see if that would supply all the needs of your body. It's not actual flesh and it's not actual blood. Then what is it? Amen. Let's read the script first as Brother Paul speaks of his revelation in verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, the New Covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." Amen. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep," that means die. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that he should not be condemned with the world." In other words, here is a basis for our life, that we are getting our judgment now. A continuous judgment. Every wrong you do, you get hit for it. And every wrong you do, you are brought to judgment by the Spirit of God. And you repent over it, and you make up your mind not to do it again. That's the living Christian has a continuation of judgment. So we see in Psalm 1, we are told, the righteous, what? Shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The sinners shall not stand in the judgment of the righteous. Oh, it's anyhow, the psalm says that the righteous and the sinners won't be in the same judgment. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, let's get back to this bread and this eating. Jesus was sitting at the table with the 12. This was not, I'm saying it over, this was not the ordinary Passover supper. They had already partaken of the Passover. And Jesus was about to institute something new. He was fulfilling a scripture and instituting the New Testament. That's what he was doing. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the old and to bring in the new. Amen. So this new covenant, this New Testament in blood, was something that had not been done before. The people say that, you know, Jesus was only having the Passover supper. This is not the Passover. Hallelujah. This is a new covenant. Amen. And if you hold this scripture and turn to the Hebrews chapter 8, and it's again in 10, 8 and 10 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind." Come on now, please be with me. It needs great concentration to come with what the Lord is bringing to me here. "And write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Let me break the ground here. Jesus is saying that no longer is he going to have an old covenant out there written on a piece of stone out there that you've got to obey. Glory to God. But that he's putting the covenant inside of you. How do you get things inside of you? By eating them. This is the reason why you had to eat this covenant. Praise God. The first covenant was on stone, written on stone outside for your eyes, your natural man to see. Bless his holy name. This covenant is written on the heart. Therefore, the symbol of the covenant must be an inward thing. Amen. Now, I'll refer you to another Old Testament scripture which gives us an understanding to this. In Exodus, I don't want you to turn to so many scriptures one time, I'll just refer to it. In Exodus, we are told that the priest anointed the bread. Certain bread was made with oil and anointed with oil. And I think that's in Exodus 27. Amen. And after it was anointed with oil, the priest ate it. Why? He was eating his anointing. God was speaking of the anointing within, hallelujah, and the anointing without. So this is the reason Jesus Christ had to be something that you're eating, something that you're going to get inside. For no, he was not anymore talking about a Jesus out there, a Christ outside of you, but he was talking about you getting the Christ within you. Amen. The Christ outside of you witnesses with the Christ within you. So you can't deny the Christ outside. Amen. Because there's a Christ in my brother also. And there's Christ in Jesus. You can't deny the Christ outside, but you must know that there is a Christ within. And this Christ without witnesses to the Christ within. Yes. If I am speaking in Christ, every human being that has Christ in him has a witness within him. Amen. So, let's go on here. Now, you turn your Bibles to 10. Hebrews 10. Hallelujah. And in verse 20. We could read verse 16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." Anybody know the Old Testament scriptures for that? Jeremiah, in my Bible I put a little note in pen beside it. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 35. And it's also in Ezekiel 33. But this is a scripture he's quoting. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now you see what he's saying. He's saying that the inward law is going to abolish the law of sin within you. And this is the reason you have got to eat the bread as a remembrance of eating Christ. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, new way now, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Hallelujah. You remember when Jesus spoke to those 70 disciples and said, eat me. Said, drink my blood. Said, what? Eat you? Drink your blood. He said, this man is crazy. Let's get out of here before things get more serious. And they left him. They left him. Why? Their minds were down there. And Jesus was talking up there. They were in the flesh, thinking of everything in the carnal. And Jesus was talking in the spiritual. And the only way we can get spiritual things is by hearing it in the natural. Because everything in the natural relates to something in the spiritual. Amen. God speaking about Satan, he said his pipes were built in him. He had built-in pipes in him in the day that he was constructed. Now, you would believe that Satan is like a big old pipe organ. But that's not it. God was only trying to show us a natural thing to let us understand the kind of thing that this great Lucifer angel was. He had music built in him. He had musical talents. That's what God was trying to say. Not that a big old pipe organ was installed in his vocals. You see. So let's go back to these words here now. It said in the night that he was crucified, he took bread and he broke it, said, this is my body broken. Bless God. I remember one scripture says, Ephraim is a cake unturned. Ephraim is a cake unturned. God was referring to a man, a number of men, a whole tribe of people, as a cake that was burnt on one side and raw on the other. Amen. So when you get these spiritual images, you'll understand when Jesus said he is the bread, what he's talking about. He means that just as you have natural bread and you eat that bread, and that bread goes into your organs, and that bread turns out to raw energy, so am I. That's what he was saying. Now, let's hold there and turn back our Bibles to John. And here we'll understand a little more of Jesus' utterance about the bread. John chapter 6. Amen. And in verse 48, he said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. This is couched in spiritual language. You notice how he puts it. Just as the natural, carnal, physical man needs physical food to keep his physical body going, so the spiritual man, the soul man, needs soul food, spiritual food, energy from heaven to keep his spiritual being alive. Now, this is what I don't understand with people who go and get dead things all day, dead food, no life, no energy, and they keep going there. Well, probably they are dead. But every living soul must feed on living food. Every evening, God came down in the garden and he walked and talked with Adam.
Yes.
What was happening there, brother? He was giving him life. Amen. And if you notice, when Adam fell, it was before he had received this portion of life for that day. Yeah. When God came, Adam couldn't take God. He had disrupted his whole life pattern, and no longer could he stand the strong presence of Almighty God. He hid from him. Why didn't he hide the day before? Because the energy that was emanating from God, Adam was able to absorb it. Now that energy would kill him, because there was darkness in him and the energy was against darkness. God is light. Brethren, you know what light is? Trevor could tell us. Light is energy. The purer the light, the purer the energy. Man has not yet found pure light. And he never will. He can't even stand pure light. Amen. The light that we have, and the greatest, the laser beam and the atomic energy giving off that light, they are so powerful that if it flashes in your presence, you are dead. It kills you. You see? And many of these scientists have died in the first experiments with this thing. And this is just child's play in comparison to the living God. God could not face Adam. Adam could not face God. Adam hid himself in a rock. Amen. Hiding away from the direct presence of God. Hallelujah. Therefore, soul is feeding. I want you to turn back to chapter 6.
John.
Oh yes, John chapter 6, verse 33, well it starts away up here in verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Energy from heaven was reduced in its power, brought down into little things like seeds, and God scattered it out there in the wilderness that they could absorb it in their physical bodies. You can imagine it must have been so full of protein that they couldn't keep it overnight. It would just rot. Amen. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you that, the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now what Jesus, hallelujah, in effect was saying is that he had so much energy that the energy that was in him alone would energize and feed the whole world for ages upon ages. Can you understand that? A loaf of bread wouldn't pass the first two benches here. Amen. And it wouldn't do much for you. You'd be crying out for bread, before nightfall. And Jesus said, he is the one loaf that God sent down from heaven to give man life, and that this life was the life of the whole world. Amen. And this life was sufficient to counteract the death and the destructive force of hell and give us super life, that we could have more than abundant. Amen. Surplus. Then said they unto him, Lord, forever give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am that bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Blessed holiness. Now, we go back to Corinthians, for this is the main part of the message. So this bread is what Jesus was offering the people in symbolic form. Amen. So if you take the symbol and you say this is the true bread, you miss the whole point, for you have turned a spiritual thought into a carnal operation. You see what I'm talking about now? So it is a spiritual thought that when you take the bread, you remember his death, what he died for, how he died, the life that he's given you from his death, and you transfer bread into energy. Alright? Let's deal with that point a little. You take gasoline, you pour it into your tank, and you go shooting down the highway. You are transferring gasoline, a material thing, into pure energy, which gives you propulsion down the highway. We, our bodies, transform natural food into energy, into life. And this is a process which God has been showing us in the natural, that we might understand the spiritual process. Now, I am giving you words, but these words are coming from somewhere, from an energy within. Therefore, this energy is being loosed among you. You catch the energy with your carnal, physical ears. Amen. But you are transforming this energy into life. Amen. Because it lodges in your mind begins to operate in your soul realm, and therefore it enters into your soul realm through your ears. Amen. So this is what Jesus was saying when he said to these people, eat this bread. As often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you remember the death of the Lord, and in remembering his death you get life. I'm going to explain that by a little story again. I've told you so often, but some didn't hear it. Amen. The night I went into my room, and where I was attacked by this devil. And this devil held me down on the bed, and Jesus came down to me and said, don't struggle. He said, it's not a natural struggle, it's a spiritual struggle. The moment I relaxed, I saw the cross of Jesus Christ. And I saw the blood dripping from his hand. I could tell you in detail what I saw. The blood was running down his armpit, running down both arms, twirling around his body, going down to his feet, and he was hanging there. And when the first drop came down from his hand, I was conscious, yes, that's for me. That is enough to set me free from any devil. I have power over every devil through that one drop. Then I saw another drop, tip, it went. And as the other drop came, the thought came to me, thank God for this blood and this energy and this life. The third drop seemed to have dropped in my face, as it were. How that happened, I wouldn't know. But I jumped from the bed and broke the hold of this devil and shouted, Jesus! Amen. And the victory was mine. But it was the energy from that blood. How did the energy transform itself into soul power? Amen. By my thinking, this is for me. This is good enough to set me free. Amen. But the assurance, so you see that we are in three parts. Three parts. Amen. No, I wouldn't worry about that. Amen. We are in three parts. The head represents that part of us, or the mind, or the soul realm, the spirit realm, which contacts heaven. heaven conscious, God conscious. Then your soul makes you self conscious. And your body, this, ears, eyes, taste, feelings, smell, five senses keep me in touch with this world. Suppose I lost my smell, I lost my taste, I lost my feeling, my seeing, my hearing. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have any contact with this world at all. Amen. But because of these senses, I become world conscious. That's what keeps me in touch with the world. Well, just as my natural senses keeps me in touch with the world, so my spirit keeps me in touch with God. Amen. So if I must feed from the heavenlies, I must feed through the spirit, through my mind. For it is the mind that feeds from the spirit. You have the spirit of God, high, mighty, powerful up there. The next thing you have, the Holy Ghost. And the next thing you have, my mind. Then you have my will and my emotions and my desires and my body. So it comes right down through different stages from spirit to natural. And you know where the spirit move changes to natural in us, right between your soul and your body. Are you with me? You have a spiritual impulse coming through. It first hits your mind. You start thinking about, you believe it. The moment you believe it, boom, it goes down. You have it acting out in your body. You have a wrong spiritual impulse now. And you get afraid. Next thing you have a headache. Mm-hmm. Amen. You get frightened or afraid or something like that. You have a headache. You upset your whole body by your thinking. And so you can do the reverse. Heal your body by your thinking. Praise God, I'm feeling as bad as anything, but thank God I'm healthy. Thanking God for health, for strength, for no sickness. And the thing departs because you begin to pump life in where death was. Amen. Look, brethren, for 26 years, my wife and I have been traveling. Our children went to 14 schools. And we had no money to go to the doctor, so we weren't sick. We had no insurance. We had no, social security, and you have Medicare, and we don't know anything about that. So therefore, we never needed it. Amen. And it's peculiar. It's very peculiar, you watch it. The more Medicare you have, the more social this and them, you have this thing that they get that money, what you call it now?
Welfare.
You have welfare, you have no problems, man. You have no problem, you're out of a job, you don't have much problem, welfare is coming in, or some workers' benefits, or something else. You live in paradise. You want to live where we live, and when you're out of a job, and you know no money's coming in, you know God's got to intervene. Yes, sir. And you can imagine under such circumstances, you leave a good job and go out working for God and refuse to be working for a church where they pay you a salary and they want you, and you know God said don't, and you go out trusting God like the birds out there, and he doesn't let you down. Even where there is nothing. So I want you to know, brethren, the whole situation of the communion. When you get before the communion table, it's an emblem, symbolism you are dealing with. And these emblems are going to remind you of the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his holy name. I can't think about it without getting quickened. Amen. It's peculiar. That's the way I get in the spirit. If anything happens to me, and you know sometimes you get so frightened you can't get in the spirit. But I get in the spirit by just thinking of the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood, which is pretty easy to think about. Mm-hmm. And man, I'm in the spirit immediately. So try it. Try it sometime. Well, therefore, when you sit before the communion table, you're not going to eat bread and wine just like that. You are remembering the blood of Jesus Christ and the body of Jesus Christ. And you know what the body means to you. It's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. He and I are one. He's my flesh and I am his. I am part of him. And when you eat the bread, you think of the flesh. Hallelujah. Of Jesus Christ that was wounded for you. Then when you drink the wine, you think of the blood of Jesus Christ and the power that lies in the blood. It's strange, and it's not too peculiar all the same, if you should think of it rightly, that in certain quarters they're attacking the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they're attacking the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The little Bible you have called the Good News for Modern Men, as I've told you before, it's bad news. Because they have taken out most of the passages of the blood. They have taken out most passages of the virgin birth. They call Mary a little girl. And you know, a virgin is different from a little girl. You see, if you say a girl, you mean any old girl. And I mean, she could not be a virgin. But the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin, that's what made us know he is the Son of God. We know the devil don't have the power to give people children. If he did, we'd have some monsters around here. Amen. See, man has that power. And God has that power. And no angel. Isn't that wonderful? That only you and I can have a child. And God. A devil can't do it. An angel can't do it. They have no power to have children. Amen. And this is why it's such sacrilege for women to really destroy that power within themselves to have children. It's a privilege. Yeah, you can fill heaven by just having children. Well, praise God. God said, blessed are he that has his arrow, his quiver filled, and they're like arrows. Well, praise be to God. Therefore, the bread is the body of Jesus, and that wine is his blood. And don't believe you in transubstantiation, please, because there's no trance unless and until you think about it. You see, that's the transubstantiation, when you begin to think of what you're doing. Okay, so when the man comes along and he thinks that, well, this is a magic potion. It's a magic potion. And if I take this magic potion, it's going to do me something. Amen. Then he's not drinking or eating aright. Amen. Now, why is it Paul said, for this cause, verse 30, many are weak and sickly among you, and some die. Now, how come? He said, because you eat unworthily. I'll soon set you loose. He said, because you eat unworthily. This is a very important point we must deal with here before. He said, why then? Now, this chap verse has been taken by many people and said, therefore, the communion service is a healing service. As you touch the bread, you're healed. And as you drink the wine, you are healed. Now, if people believe that, it will happen. Amen. But that's not what Paul was saying here. You see, the bread is not only Jesus Christ, but your brother also. And when you do not discern the Lord's body, are you seeing with me? The Lord's body, you are the Lord's body. Jesus is the head and you are the body. I hope none of you are head. Amen. You know, we went into a church and you know what they were singing? We are Christ. We are Christ. We are the head. I just told them point blank right down the line. Of course, I didn't know they were singing that. It's after I had finished preaching that they told me. That just went right in and told them point blank that this is against God, Antichrist. You know? And they wanted to know why, because their last teacher taught them that they were Christ. Now, can my toe go all around this building boasting, I am Cecil the Cell? You say, well, I didn't know he looked like that. That's a story. Amen. If my head should say, I am Cecil the Cell, you say, well, yeah. You know, you expect a body to be attached on there, though it's on their head. You see, you know a body is there. So, with Jesus Christ, this is the reason why my toe can't talk. And my fingers won't talk. They'll work, but they won't talk. Because God is saying that it is only the head that has expression. So, Jesus Christ is the head. And we are the body. So, if he's bread, we are bread also. But don't go about saying you are the head. Because you're not the head, you're the body. It's such an easy, simple thing. And then the scripture said that in the resurrection, every man wear in his own order. Now if I ask you, what's your order, Ken? You don't know. Because you're not finished with yet. But I know what order you'd like to be in. Amen. And I know what order I'd like to be in. He said, first, Christ, the first fruits. And then, those that belong to Christ, possession. Do you know that some of those people out on the street there tonight, today, drinking, carousing, living in sin, they belong to us and to Christ. It's like the coin that was lost, or like the sheep that's straying. There are some stray sheep out there, but there are sheep. There are some stray coins out, lost coins out there, but they are coin. They belong to this jurisdiction. Amen. Therefore, you see, Jesus rising first. He's the head. So what do you expect next? Neck. And that's the neck of time between the head and the shoulder. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, for you, the first fruit company, are the shoulder, part of this body. Then the rest of the body will come. Until the feet that is burnished with fire. The feet coming forth in the fire time. Amen. But that will mean the coming forth of the full body of Christ. For the resurrection is progressive. You see. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. So you're looking for a resurrection out there, you have it in you. All you need to do is to encourage the thing in you and it will explode. Somebody encouraged a few bums up in Roseville the other day. What encouragement they gave the bum? Why did they explode? Fire. Those bombs had no fuses on them. The only thing that could have made them explode was fire. And so the bum of the Christ that is in you, it needs fire to mature it and bring it to a point of explosion. And this is where the resurrection occurs, in us. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. So when you sit down before the communion table, you are going to eat your resurrection. Amen. Take in Christ like you're taking in now. We are having communion right now. But Jesus wants you to have it with the bread and with the wine as emblems, symbols of blood and body. For we must keep the remembrance of the blood fresh. You know what I heard an end-time preacher say? He said the blood is only an influence. And he said Jesus Christ's blood is sacrifice. It's just teaching us that we too need to be sacrificed. It's a symbol or something like that. You see, they don't see truth. The blood of Jesus Christ is right here floating around in this building. And if you think you have troubles, you call on the blood right away and you'll see how your troubles go. Because the blood is an energy, a life process that is working in the other realm, and we pull it down into our realm by getting on God's wire or on his frequency. We just pull this life down. So God bless you. Before I close, let me mention something. I don't know if you do it here, but Jesus Christ took a basin in John chapter 13, and he said, I'm going to show you an example here. And as often as I do this, as ye come together and do this thing, you wash one another's feet. And there's a big contention in the church as to whether this washing of feet was necessary and what not and what. But have you ever tried it? If you try it, you'll see how necessary it is. Because the first time we tried it, we had a kind of missionary alliance church, and they don't do those things, you know. And we felt that we should try. But the people didn't know beforehand, so they sat at random, you know, and this lady sat beside her maid. Now, in Jamaica, and in the British system, the relationship between maid and missus is different from you do it here. I see some of the mistresses sitting at table with their maid having lunch, you know, or having dinner. I mean, that does not just happen in our country. And this lady was sitting beside her maid, and the washing of the saints' feet came, and she felt the Lord was saying to her she should, but then she had to wash her maid's feet. Amen. And I tell you, they just hugged each other and wept. And you better believe it was the first they ever hugged. Again, I saw a man and his wife in the same meeting, and he decided to sit at the back because she was sitting at the front. And they started to wash the saints' feet, and he was carrying the basins and things for the men, and she was carrying the basins for the ladies and all that. And when they realized what happened, both of them were standing with their basins, and everybody else had been put through beside both of them. So they looked at each other, and he bowed down and started washing her feet, and then she washed his feet without saying anything, and then both of them began to weep. They just hugged each other and went back home, for they had separated. But I see this as breaking down walls of partition between the brethren. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of message, M. 118. The Power of the Living Word.